When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And if by chance you want to share our today's Vet Sunday with family or friends around the country or the world, and they're not available right now to listen live, you know, you can always go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com, and on the homepage there is a link to the audio archives, and all of the shows are hooked up on that audio archive after the show, so you can listen at your leisure, and so can anybody else that you'd like to share with. All right, it is a beautiful sunny morning here in the great Pacific Northwest. Although it is nippy dippy doo, I'll tell you. I had to break out my down parka. And along those lines, Gary has his. Is that your North Face jacket? No, I don't see the. No, there, but.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's the North Face.
Yeah,
it's the North Face jacket.
It's kind of scraped off.
It is. Yes, it's lost its little logo there, yeah. Part of it anyway. Yeah. But that would be production engineer Gary Hill is here. Morning, Gary.
Morning.
So, you're a little bright and cheery this morning. What's up with you?
Am I? Well, possibly. The last few weeks I've been having to get here. I've been getting up at 5 to get here, and I guess
you know, like,
I didn't have
dark
to this
30.
Morning.
Yeah. So, also, that's it. You didn't have to come in.
That must
in.
Be it. That,
yeah,
a couple
okay.
more hours of sleep, so.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
That's well, something.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pretty soon we'll be able to fall back and get an extra hour.
I like that.
I mean, that happens sometime, doesn't it? Sort of the end of October, maybe? I'm not
yeah,
sure when,
I think that's
when
coming
does that happen. I don't know. Maybe Sandy knows. And what a good girl she's being. My goodness. Quiet mouth in the other room. That would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. I was busy doing something else.
Oh, that's what I see. Okay, so she wasn't behaving herself.
And I figured
she was just
let
busy.
Them talk. Yeah.
So do you know when we fall back?
Near the end of October, but I don't.
It's yeah, that's kind of what I thought,
night,
too.
So.
Yeah, that's what the bonus is. It's a Saturday night.
It might be the 25th, but I'm not sure.
It might be the happiest show we ever do on Animal World.
Yeah,
do you think? It might be. Yeah, and what is the most miserable would be when we spring forward and get out.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes.
I don't hate that.
But we're almost towards the favorite part of ours, which is the fall back.
It's weird because I always used to be a morning person. And now I'm kind of grumpy in the morning, and I find that I'm finding my power and my energy around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, so you're getting on my schedule.
And I'm still not, late into the night, but I'm wanting to do things that I normally would have done first thing in the morning around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So things are shifting.
Yeah.
So I'll be really happy when we fall back.
Well, and then already it's getting darker earlier,
yeah.
Way earlier.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I've take Annie Golden Retriever to play, chuck it with her ball every day over to the little park close to my house, which, by the way, is still for sale. And if anyone's looking for
the park or your house?
No, my house.
Oh, your
my house. And still looking for the perfect buyer for my house.
which I hope they're on the way soon. But also, I was told by a friend, I totally forgot to mention last week, I have a custom-built cat run on my house. So if you want to live in Laurelhurst on the friendliest, most popular block and get a good deal on a the house needs a little bit of work, some TLC and so forth.
But and Martha, she's a carpenter, boy. She can build them cat runs.
Well, I had it built.
You had it built.
I directed the building. I did not build it myself. I am not a carpenter. That surprises you?
I thought you were kind of handy with things. I mean, you ran that farm.
Well, yeah. I'm good at delegating stuff. But I also have a tool department. Some I can use and some I can't so well, you know.
I'm a good hammer. Give me a hammer and some nails. Boy, I can nail things. Poof. And I like screwdrivers, too.
I have the best. I have the best screwdriver. I got it off of QFC. You know me and QVC and
QVC.
My TV order things. And it's this, Gary, you would appreciate this. It's a handle, and then it has little knobs all the way around it, and you can push up any different kind of screwdriver head that you need. It has like three different sizes of the flat ones and then like three different or four sizes of the Phillips heads. And so they're all there in one little unit.
Nice.
It's very cool. It's very cool. How did we
QVC
get into
QVC special, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, my goodness, that just totally got me off my track here. And, we were talking about
tools.
I know. I was at the park with Annie Golden. How did we get in the tool department? The park with the
building.
Dog.
We were building.
Oh, yeah, the cat run in my house. Okay. All right. Well, we're all feeling good today. Maybe we all got a little extra sleep. Who knows? And Mercury's out of retrograde. Maybe that's it.
That could be it.
Yeah. We're all like, woohoo. Okay, let's see. So what I had a point because I was requested by a listener to mention something this morning, and I'm trying to get to that. And what reminded me is that Annie Golden at the park in the evening, we go throw the ball. And I have been going between 7 and 8 o'clock at night, and it's light and it's just fine. But now it's pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes trying to change my schedule as I do this time of year and get her over there early. But I quite a while ago figured out a really hot solution so that if I have to go in the dark, because Annie, her greatest thrill in life is chasing her ball. And so
right.
If we can't play ball, she has no fun. And that's hard to do in the dark. So the point of all of this is that I figured out a way to do that, which I'm going to share with you. And I use my Chuck-It, but I don't use tennis balls. And that's what a listener called me about this week. He said, will you please mention to get on the air, because she was down at the dog park and everybody was throwing tennis balls with her ball. She says, they haven't listened to Aunt Martha. You've got to tell them. And why don't vets tell them that if you use regular tennis balls with your dogs, the fabric that tennis balls are covered in works like sandpaper on their teeth, and it wears their canines down. So I don't use tennis balls with my dogs.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm glad you brought that up, because on Wednesday, most of our listeners know that I work at a clinic and I do surgical recovery on Wednesday. And Martha just dropped her chair down. Now she looks like a little person over there.
It's not. See, all right, now tell. All right, now I have to change. It's not working right. And so that's why I'm discombobulated.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, so continue with
your anyway,
story.
So anyway,
I have to take my headset off because if I move with it on, I get shocked.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm taking it off. You talk, and I'm changing chairs.
So I work at this clinic, and I do surgical recovery, and I had a couple Australian Shepherds that I was recovering that day, two brothers, and both of them, their canine, these dogs were 5 years old, and they literally had stubs for canines because they are ball obsessed. The owner gives them tennis balls, and it actually looked like somebody went in and just ground down their canines.
Yep.
That's how bad this can happen to a five-year-old dog. And folks, your dogs need these canines. They need their teeth.
And they get filed down far enough, then that root is exposed.
Right, and then you have to take them out.
Yeah.
Because then it causes the dog pain. But I don't think that I ever saw such chewed down canines on such young dogs. And the dogs actually came in with their tennis balls. So I wrote a note to the owner and told them about that glow-in-the-dark ball.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I have a solution for both that solves both problems. And the bottom line is, folks, do not use regular tennis balls with your dogs because it files down their teeth. Now, I've been told, because I keep going round and round with the company that makes the Chuckets, and those are the plastic ball throwers that
right.
allow you to throw the ball farther. They came out, because I bugged them for so long, they came out with a hard rubber ball instead of the tennis ball types. But the last time I talked to the company, they said, well, you know, the tennis balls that are made for dogs are different, and they don't do that. They don't, you know, they don't hurt their teeth. Now, I
don't know.
I don't know if I trust that.
Yeah, I don't
either. Because
they look exactly the same.
They look exactly the same, and
they
I can't kind
same.
Of imagine that they do it differently just for dogs. So, I don't know if I believe that or not. So, anyway, I don't use any kind of tennis balls. But what I found and what I do at the park is a Buddy Glow Ball Junior is what it's called. And it's kind of an off-white, kind of plastic, rubber, soft ball. It has a picture, a drawing of a black Labrador Retriever's head on it. And Buddy Glow Ball Junior. And they come in a little net with a cardboard label on them.
Yeah.
And you can get them at most pet stores. And they glow in the dark, but they're the same size as a tennis ball, so they fit right in your chucket. So when I take Annie to the park, I take a little flashlight in my pocket. And it's very cool the way that we play ball in the dark now, because I get out my little flashlight and turn it on, and I call it firing up the ball. You know, I put the ball next to the flashlight to make it glow, and then I throw it, and then I can see where it goes, and she can see where it goes. She runs out and gets it, and then she brings it back, and then I pick it up and fire it up again with a flashlight, throw it. It's very cool. So we can play ball whether it's light or dark.
I think it's a great idea. I think, and if I know another ball that you can use,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't glow in the dark, folks, and it's a little heavier than this ball, and you can get them at sports stores. It's called a lacrosse ball. And it's
okay.
A nice, it's kind of heavy because I used to use them for juggling. But it's just a nice, smooth rubber ball.
Yeah, the other ones that you can use, and I have one of those, they're a hard red, they're red in color, and they're a hard rubber or plastic, and when you hit them on something, they flash a red light.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you throw the ball and it hits the ground, then it flashes. And that's kind of cool, but if the dog doesn't find it in time, it only flashes for, like, you know, 5 seconds or something.
Oh, that's
and then
yeah.
stops. And then it's because it's red, then it's dark, and you can lose it in the dark. So that's why I like the Glow Ball Juniors, because when they stop glowing, they're white. So the only time the Glow Balls are a problem is if you're playing ball in the snow. And then I have lost a few glow balls in the snow and had to go back, you know, after the snow melted to find them. And my goodness, did I get off on a tangent?
You did.
That was because my chair wasn't working, and now I've got chairs working. So now I'm happy. All right. I know what I started to say. It's the first Sunday of October already. Can you believe that? Hoof. And that means it's Vet Sunday. Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, The Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the Same Subject. Dr. Al will join us shortly after the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk about the imbalance. I've got questions for him, and we, of course, will have open phone lines, and we'll entertain your animal and or human medical care questions today. We have got a couple of events happening today. I'll get to them shortly. A little bit of follow-up in news. There was hardly any news this week with animals. It was probably good because, you know, the bulk of the news is in good news, and they're fairly long stories, so hopefully I'll have enough time to share all of those stories with you. 10 o'clock, we are going to run a tip as usual, but we will, for the first time, being as that is now officially fall, the weather seems to have caught up with the calendar.
Yes, it has.
Because, boy, it's been cold.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to break out the down.
I have extra blankets on the bed.
My down vest. And I'm wearing cougar colors for Gary.
I like it.
Yeah. I even have gray on the inside.
Nice.
See, maroon on the outside, gray on the inside. I didn't hear how you did yesterday. Did you win or lose?
No, didn't win.
Oh, boy. You guys are in
Not
trouble.
Good.
Yeah. We... Well, never mind. We don't have time to go there. Let's see. We're going to do the at 10 o'clock tip will be our fall into winter tip. And especially if you have little dogs that don't like to go outside in the cold and the rain, you need to listen how to keep them on their house training program so they don't fail because of the bad weather. That's in my tip at 10 o'clock. 10:50 as usual, current events and a new pet of the week with Nancy McKinney from King County Animal Care and Control. And we will open the Animal World Prize Closet today.
Yes, we will.
So call on in because we are giving away copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. I think that's it.
That's it.
All right, let's see. Happening today. Couple of events. Now, this is the second day of the first annual fundraiser, Hoof-a-Palooza, for the Hooved Animal Rescue of Thurston County. Now, it is from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today. It's at Trails End Arena in Olympia. Trails End Arena. The address is 1500 79th Avenue Southeast. 1500 79th Avenue Southeast. Goes till 4 p.m. today. There's a gaming show, a swap meet, a tax sale, silent auction, 4-H fair, food and adoptable animals. And I have a phone number here for you if you want details. And I can't guarantee somebody's going to be there, maybe at the event. But the phone number is 360-402-0702. 360-402-0702. All right, so that is event number one. And then event number two today, you can actually, this is sort of, this will get us into the news. What a picture in on Thursday's Seattle Times in the Northwest Thursday section. It's a picture of back home in Issaquah. Look at that big old salmon.
Wow.
Gary. Not big.
Yeah.
It says, Catherine Carlson successfully grabs a salmon Tuesday afternoon at the Issaquah Salmon Hatchery during the annual spawning season. A large Chinook can carry up to 5,000 eggs.
Wow.
Yeah. The 2009 Issaquah Salmon Days Festival, that's the happening today, is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It was yesterday and today. It draws more than 300,000 visitors annually, and the hatchery raises two of the five types of Pacific salmon, coho and silver salmon, Chinook or King. Now, and then there's a picture of the supervisor, John, is filling a bucket with approximately 8,000 fertilized eggs. This year, the hatchery expects to collect 2.5 million. Look at that thing of eggs. That's all salmon eggs.
Wow.
Is that amazing? So you can search these photos on Seattle Times if you want to look at it. But if you're looking for something to do today, if you're down in the Olympia, we told you about the horses. But if you're up in our area, then you could head out to Issaquah for Salmon Days. Okay. All right, let's... we don't have to do that, do we? No, we don't. Never mind. Don't you just let... I just talked to myself. I think... Gosh, we... Okay, one more follow-up item in the news. Like I said, not a whole lot of news this week, so I'm into the editorial comments by the write-in folks. Because, you know, the big news last week was all about King County Animal Care and Control and the King County executives... planned to get out of the animal control business. And some of the letters written in to the Seattle Times in the Northwest Voices section, this is from Friday, really make a lot of sense. So I thought I'd share these with you. Here's a couple of them. Dear Editor, I found the Times September 29th editorial, King County should get out of animal control, to be full of facile recommendations with no concrete ways to implement them. The solutions thus far advanced by the two county executive candidates also fail to do so. The county does indeed have to cut or transfer the large expense of the program to conserve tax dollars for core human services. The Times advocated for some vague interlock agreement supported by suburban governments, animal welfare agencies, and nonprofits, but neglected to mention the magnitude of the program. Animal shelters and adoption activities, such as what the Humane Society operates, are very labor-intensive. They depend on a large network of volunteers to show up dependably, two shifts per day to exercise and socialize the dogs and cats. I'm not aware of any vast untapped pool for this free labor. This is aside from the substantial cost of paid staff, equipment for veterinary work, twice daily kennel cleaning, adoptions, transportation, feeding, etc. The Times stated, while animal control is an integral part of public safety, it can be done by private or nonprofit entities. Control means enforcement, something that can't be delegated that way. What's being left unsaid here is that the reduced tax support will greatly reduce the number of stray, abandoned, and surrendered pets that can be supported while they wait for adoption in King County. So very well said. That was Peter S. Marshall from Bellevue. Now, here's I like this one even better. Listen to this one. This starts out, it's titled, "This is Leadership." Let me get this straight. We spend $179 million per mile on a light rail system that is a pathetic waste of money, but we do not have $5 million for animal control in King County? A better option is to toss or leave abandoned animals on the streets? Believe me, any time a government-run organization is dissolved and given over to a private sector is, in most cases, a great thing. But to dress this up as a situation where there is no money is ridiculous. Does the so-called leadership in King County have no shame? You know, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, we've expressed that they're really almost there. They just need to be properly funded and staffed so they can cover all the bases, and they're just about there. So, okay, we'll get out of the editorial to business here. All right, next up in the news department, and this, if you want to look this up, this is also from the Seattle Times and from Wednesday's paper. Have you heard that the feds may expand restrictions to keep humans from whales?
Yes.
And new restrictions are being considered to keep the Northwest Wales population from being loved to death by everyone from kayakers to whale-watching tours. The National Marine Fisheries Service is proposing a 200-yard barrier, that's double the current barrier, between boats and migrating whales, and closing off a half-mile no-go zone along the west side of San Juan Island from May 1st through the end of September when the whales are present. An exemption would be made for commercial fishing boats, cargo ships, and some limited exceptions for landowners assessing their properties. Now, this is, I find interesting. The proposal is the result of a lengthy study showing whales' communication patterns are adversely affected by noise from boats. The whales, which depend on their highly sophisticated sonar to navigate and find food, can be affected by underwater noise from boats and disturbed by vessels that get too close or block their paths. And my comment about this, of course, is this was after a lengthy study that no doubt cost a whole lot of money. And why didn't they just read Mary Gettin's book or talk to Mary, who talks to the whales? Because the whales have been telling us the boats are, you know, the noise and all that's been a problem for a long time. So anyway, it hasn't been decided. There's been some public input. And if the proposed rules are adopted, the earliest they would take effect would be in May of 2010. So you can look that up if you want. More information there. And then, oh, this is just kind of a creepy story. This will just get us ready for the good news. Rat killing champ.
Ew.
Yeah, that kind of, no, this is out of Bangladesh. Bangladesh farmer Mohairu, I apologize, Islam, won a first prize of a 14-inch color TV and a certificate in a contest after killing, get this, 83,450 rats in the past 9 months in the Ghazipur district near the South Asian country's capital, Dhaka.
Oh, man. And I mean, I'm sure that's not even the tip of the rat.
83,450.
That's just amazing.
Yeah. All right, I say we'll just leave that one alone. And that brings us up to time for
some good news.
The best good news about animals.
You know.
Woohoo! Yep, and these are all good news stories. I'm going to share them with you. Some are one. The last one is lengthy, and while I'm giving you the first two, get your Kleenex. You'll need it. Okay, first up here. Now, this is if you want to find this news. I got this off the internet, thestar.com. This is out of Bangkok. A gecko with leopard-like spots on its body and a fanged frog that eats birds are among 163 new species discovered last year in the Mekong River region of Southeast Asia, an environmental group said today. World Wildlife Fund International said that scientists in 2008 discovered 100 plants, 28 fish, 18 reptiles, 14 amphibians, 2 mammals, and 1 bird species in the region. That works out to be about 3 species a week, and it's in addition to the 1,000 new species cataloged there from 1997 to 2007. So it's amazing that we've been on this planet for how long, and we haven't even begun to discover all the living creatures. So if you want to read the whole article, it's way too long for me to give you the rest of it. TheStar.com, and I'd search fanged frog, because that's in the title of the article. Okay, now Sandy, you will like this. Our second good news story was provided from Norma. And it's a British good news story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay. And good news you might be interested in from across the pond from Norma. And this is from London. Whoever says tortoises are slow must meet Freeway, a Herman's tortoise who was found crossing the fast lane of the M25 in Britain. Freeway has crossed 5 lanes of London's motorway and survived. It was a driver named John Formby who spotted Freeway and pulled over to rescue him. Quote, I saw this bundle in the road and thought it was a bit of debris. I went to swerve it, but noticed it was moving, then saw it had a head. He said, I couldn't believe it was a tortoise crossing the motorway through traffic traveling at 70 miles per hour. I pulled over and ran 400 yards back up the road to get it. I was holding my breath as it came from the central reservation towards the hard shoulder. 3 vehicles went right over the top of it, but somehow missed it. It didn't even pop back into its shell, just kept on walking as if it knew it had to get to the other side. So this guy, he ran out and picked up Freeway in the slow lane, stopped off to buy him some lunch of lettuce and tomato, before driving him to an animal center near his home where vets found he had been microchipped in America.
Oh,
this turtle traveled all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, for heaven's sakes. Well, probably not by himself, but in that strange, it says Billy Elliott of the Worthing and District Animal Sanctuary said, quote, that explained why he was on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, that's a good story.
We have named him Freeway for now, the American word for motorway. Freeway was found on the junction of the M25 and M23, miles from the nearest house. It's a miracle he survived. He could have been on the road for a long time before he was picked up. It was the busiest time of the day on one of the busiest roads in the country. He couldn't have picked a worse place to go for a stroll. Vets are taking care of Freeway, who is thought to be about 10 years old, for the weekend while Elliot is trying to find and trace his owners.
I'll be darned.
So if any
That's
of y'all
really
are...
That's really cool.
Yeah, isn't that?
Wow.
Okay, now we get to the winner of the best good news. It's possible you have heard or seen this story because it's off of CBSNews.com. You can go to CBSNews.com and search this story, and then you can see the video and the actual photographs. But get your Kleenex because this is a good one. Now I'm gonna try to read this without tearing up myself, but you'll understand if I do. It says, over the last 20 years, the Love Me Tender Animal Rescue in Central Tennessee has rounded up more than 1,000 abandoned dogs. And although most are timid and untrusting, one Rottweiler named Ella was notably different. Quote, I could just tell right away she was somebody's baby. She just didn't act like a stray dog to me, said by Kathy Wilkes Myers, who found the dog. Ella was emaciated and drinking from a drainage ditch along an empty stretch of highway. Kathy says it's typical for people to dump unwanted pets in the middle of nowhere, but again, the dog's demeanor convinced her there was more to the story. So she did some detective work, and what she found is a heart-wrenching tale of unending loyalty. Quote, she was hoping her family would come back, but they couldn't. They couldn't come back. It just breaks your heart, said Kathy. Kathy found the first clues to this mystery, broken glass and tail lights, right near where she found the dog. And just down from there, she found a second set of even more intriguing clues, personal items, gathered up by the dog. Quote, it was like she was sleeping with them or waiting with them, Kathy said. She took a picture with her cell phone and gathered the items. They were mostly random, personal things. Toothbrush, comb, razor, a candle that said Michelle. But nothing that would explain anything, although now she did have a hunch. Kathy remembered 2 weeks earlier she'd driven by an accident on the same stretch of highway. She remembered because it was such a horrible crash. A single car had flipped over and landed on the side of the road at just about the same spot where she found the dog. Based on what she saw that day, Kathy figured there was no way a person could have survived. But what about a dog? So she called the highway patrol. Quote, she gave me the mom's name and the dad's name, and the mom's name was Michelle. And I thought, oh my God, this is their dog. Thrown from the car, rescue crews never saw the dog. She spent 13 days scavenging for food along the highway and 13 nights bedding down with whatever she could find that smelled like her lost family. Quote, that's the last spot she saw her family, and she was going to stay there, Kathy said. Kathy figured it all out, but fortunately she got one thing wrong. Someone did survive the crash. In fact, all five family members survived. Quote, I'm lucky to be sitting here with my family, said Joe Kelly, the family's father. After 2 weeks believing their beloved dog Ella had died, the family of Joe and Michelle Kelly got the most wonderful, slobbery surprise of their lives.
Wow.
For the first time since the accident, the Kellys had a good reason to cry, all thanks to a dog who refused to forget her family and the stranger who refused to take lost for an answer. Unfortunately, it was a bittersweet reunion because of the accident and the medical expenses. The Kelly family had to temporarily relocate to a place that doesn't allow dogs. The good news is Kathy has promised to hold on to Ella for as long as the Kellys need to get back on their feet.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wonderful?
There are angels in this world.
There are. Human angels on Earth. Woohoo. Okay. Well, that sets the stage. We're just going to continue on a high note here. We will take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Of course, the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. And Kathy was the guest. Yeah, with a Rottweiler. Sandy will round up Dr. Al, and we'll get started with Vet Sunday. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of 5. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including aromatherapy for animals with Joan Sarita of Sarita Body Works on October 3rd and 4th, and animal communication with Polly Klein on October 17th and 18th. Enroll in the distance learning program to prepare for fall classes. For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Canada products are made the Canada way with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula. 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and 0 grains. Discover why dogs love Canada. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on her website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit the Sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook Robin's Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki healing energy portal.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, the phone lines will be open for the rest of today's show. We will entertain at any time your animal and or human medical care questions. So I'm just letting you know, if you have an animal or human medical care question that you want to pose to Dr. Al and you can't wait until later in the show, well, you can call in at any time and your phone calls take priority. We will be delighted to interrupt our conversation. We will also be giving away to callers today copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. So if you don't have a copy of that, I definitely would want to call in to get a copy of the book. Now, local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. If you're out of our local calling range, toll-free long-distance number is 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. And you can send us an email while we're on the air to our live email address, which is very simple. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. Just if you have a question for Dr. Al today, just make sure you get your email in soon enough that we have time to address it, because a lot of times we get emails, Gary, don't we, in the last 5 minutes of the show, and sorry, can't do it.
It's just nothing we can do.
Yeah, yeah, so you got to send those in early. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com.
We'd stay longer if we could, but...
Well, we, yeah,
but we can't.
Gary kicks us out at noon.
Sorry.
Because otherwise Gary'd be in big trouble if he,
I know,
didn't, he didn't run what... Of course, we could just take over, don't you think?
Theoretically.
Yeah.
For a week. And then you probably have somebody new on the show next week.
That's true. That's true. Well, yeah.
It probably wouldn't be me.
Yeah. Well, exciting. Well, exciting show next week. Helen and Bill Thayer back in the house.
Woo-hoo, I know. Woo-hoo. I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
That.
We're all excited. Speaking of being excited, we are excited to get rolling on Vet Sunday today because that means Dr. Al Pleckner is here. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning, Martha, Gary.
How are you doing?
How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good. Gary got extra sleep today. He didn't have to come in at oh dark 30 like he usually does.
That's probably because the football games are a little bit later.
Well, yeah, he's not a very happy camper in the football department because his team be big losers this year.
I know it.
You notice he's not chiming in.
And I know. Take up bowling or something or collecting stamps and don't watch TV. You'll feel better.
Okay. Collecting stamps or bowling.
Well, either one, or do it at the same time. It's really exciting.
Of course, he has to do his sports show, Sports Tangle, on Monday evening from 8 to 9. That'd kind of be hard to talk about collecting stamps or bowling.
Well,
I suppose he could do that.
Sure.
Now, people in the Hall of Fame of bowling, sure, go for it.
Well, we'll leave that up to Gary. All right, so how's Dr. Al and how's California?
California's fine. Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
Working hard, kind of excited. We got that new website that these people have put up.
For you?
It's actually, they're using my research, and mm-hmm. they're real, real nice people, and what they're trying to do is bring everybody together in a community website so people can volunteer, people can call in, people can make comments, do the whole thing, and literally sign up for it. It's a Healthy Pet Network. .oneis.org and the .net will have blog articles.
Okay, well, wait a second. Let's. Do you have the website address?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
It is Healthy Pet Network. .org.
Healthy Pet Network. .org. And I'm sure Sandy will check it out here to see if we get that.
And the blog.
www.healthypetnetwork.org.
And then the same thing for .net is the blog articles that are going up, so they're building the thing.
You mean so when you say .net, you mean healthypetnetwork.net?
Yes, correct.
Instead of .org, so there's two different websites?
Right.
Okay.
And it's basically to kind of get the community, the world together, if you will, with comments to basically help animals and help people and get as much information out. And probably have different webinars and the whole thing on it.
So we can take advantage of this website right now.
Absolutely. They're building, but there's a lot of it's up already. It'll give you an idea of what they're trying to do and the people that are involved, you know, kind of about us. We've got Michael Goldman, who's been a dear client for a long time, and David Spangenberg, who's doing this new book, as you know, that we've talked about a little bit.
Well, he's writing a book about you, correct?
Right, and then Kirk Nims is doing the other technical books, which he's calling 50 Years of Healing, that's coming along. It's just beautiful. And it's got this information, it's new information. It's stuff that's never been done before, and that's the beauty of it. It's not a redo. So anyway, I'm kind of pumped.
All right, so neither book is ready yet, and obviously you'll let us know when they are.
They're coming fairly soon now, yeah.
But the websites are up and running, and you're doing a blog on the healthypetnetwork.net?
Exactly. I'll be doing a number of blog articles that'll be set up for people to, you know, to comment on. They have questions on, and then a section where they can actually send their questions in so that you can talk to the issues they're interested in and not the issues that I'm going to speak to. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
So, and then if they have expertise in the field or this or that and would like to get involved and get on the web, you know, the whole thing is free. It's not one of these membership things where you got to sign up. It has nothing to do with that.
That's
We're just trying
cool.
to organize the pet world to get it really going for everybody. So everybody's got some say about it and input and the whole thing. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, well, that's kind of embarrassing. I mean, you're doing a blog. And I always thought you were technically more inept than I am, and you're doing a blog before I'm doing a blog. That's amazing. Are you enjoying
that? You're technically, no. We're doing blogs in different areas. You're much better qualified doing your area than I am by any means. So.
That's not true. I just it took me forever to get into the computer age and to actually even do a website and to do email and all of that. And finally I did, but I don't understand. I don't Twitter. I don't Facebook. Blog. I'm going to have to do all of that as soon as I get moved and get a new computer system. I'm going to have to learn to do all of that.
Well, the interesting thing here with Michael Goldman's a business marketing expert, and his wife Terry is a webmaster, and so they're doing all of this. They have these are people you may want to talk to because
so they're helping. They're helping you do this, huh?
No, they're not helping me do it. They're doing
They're doing it.
I'm computer illiterate.
That's what I was trying to tactfully say. I thought you were worse than me, but you're doing a blog and I'm not.
No, I am worse than you. Trust me, and I have this heavy thumb. I pull over the keys and I lose everything all the time. And stuff comes up and I don't know. It's beyond me, but what they're doing is they're taking me by the hand, and they're leading me along. Okay,
I see. Well, so how do you do the blogs? Do you type up the blogs and then send them to them, and they post them?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I do it on the word processor, so they can actually put the thing up. They can correct, you know, my English, you know, my whatever. And it's really neat. So yeah, they're doing this for me. So I'm tickled to death.
So,
and then Kirk Nims is taking all my articles and basically making sure they're what they should be, and he's editing, he's contributing, actually, as a lot of people are now, they're basically sending in articles to kind of prove, you know, Plechner syndrome, which is really kind of neat. So I'm just kind of sitting back and enjoying it for a while.
Well, that's great. That's great. So the websites again. Now, Dr. Al's website, his personal website, has all kinds of great information and where you can order the book, Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. It is www.drplechner.com, drplechner.com. And then the newer websites that Dr. Al was talking about and where his blog is, apparently there's two, healthypetnetwork.org. And then the healthypetnetwork.net is where you'll find Dr. Al's blog. Is that correct, Dr. Al?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay, yeah. So
it'll be fun. We'd like everybody's involvement to see what you think and what you can add to it and questions. And, you know, I like to see it all hang out so somebody gets some benefit out of this to not only benefit themselves but also their pets.
All right. Now, as the show progresses today, as soon as we have a moment, we will talk about the Plechner syndrome. What is this endocrine immune imbalance? And give you a brief description and what it's all about. And then at some point in the show today, Dr. Al, I want to talk about, because I've got a press release about a new canine influenza virus vaccine that is now out, and about canine flu and stuff. When I was reading this press release, it made me think of you, and I had a question, so we'll get to that. And I was going to start with all of that, but I told you that phone calls would take precedence, and it looks like we do have a caller. Sandy, is she ready? Sandy's she's not quite ready yet. But we'll go ahead and because I promised you that phone calls would take priority, and we will honor that. And so I want to get to this phone call before we run out of time in this hour. So okay with you, Dr. Al, if we...
That's perfect. You
okay.
Bet ya.
And it looks like we're going to Mukilteo and speaking to Janet. Janet, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al Plechner.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What can we help you with, Janet?
Well, I have two cats, Jules and Ben. Both 10, they're litter mates, and they both have infections. One has an intestinal infection, the other has a urinary tract infection.
Okay, so two cats, Jules and Ben, and how old did you say they are?
10.
About 10 years old, and they're litter mates?
Yes.
Okay, and have they been healthy cats all of their life?
Pretty much healthy.
Okay, and Dr. Al, you hearing this call okay?
You can actually, if you can just... pass on the verbiage.
Okay.
That'd be
okay.
Great.
Well, Janet has two cats, Jules and Ben. They're litter mates, and they're about 10 years old. And Janet, you were saying they've been healthy most of their life.
Yes.
But now both of them have an infection. One has a urinary tract infection,
right?
And the other has an intestinal infection,
right?
And it sounds like the one with the urinary tract infection, because you emailed me about this,
right?
Has been on a lot of different antibiotics,
right, and an anti-inflammatory.
So it's been chronic, right, with both of them?
It's how long has it been going on?
No, it's a month.
A month.
And they both started at the same time.
And it started with both of them at the same time. But one of them is urinating frequently and has some blood in the urine, correct?
Well, the last 2 days he's not had blood in the urine, but he just urinates a small, tiny little bit, and it's hard to tell because of the two cats how much urine is going.
Okay. But the other
he's
one...
He's a male?
Yeah.
Is it a male or female?
Two
male?
Male cats. Two neutered males.
I'm sorry.
Neutered males, and the one has the urinary tract symptoms, frequent small amounts, occasional blood, has been on several kinds of antibiotics and an anti-inflammatory. The other cat started with diarrhea. Is that right, Janet?
Right.
And has been... The other cat is on...
Albon
at the moment.
Well, yeah, they usually use Albon for coccidiosis, and it also heals the gut. But this is a crazy question, but a month ago or so, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, you didn't change the food, did you?
I did change the food after they started having
the
these problems. Access?
After they started having problems, she changed the food, but not before.
Yeah, I was thinking it might be some kind of allergy or something.
Well, yeah, food sensitivity. They sounds almost like what we call irritable bowel syndrome. What you can do right off the bat, which is kind of easy in 70% of the cases, you can lift up their lip and look at where the gum joins the tooth.
Uh-huh.
And see if either one of them have a little red line.
Okay, I know Ben
have
does.
A little red...
You know Ben does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what does Ben have? Is Ben the guy with the...
Diarrhea.
He's the one with the diarrhea.
Okay, well, see, that's his... With Ben, what's cooking, and the other little guy might probably have the same thing, even though he may not be in the 70%. When you look at that red line, what that's saying is that's a antibody deficiency in the mucous membranes of the body. So where that goes is it's a deficiency in the bladder, in the respiratory tract, the digestive tract, the whole bit. And this comes from and you can kind of look at the Plechner syndrome thing, because this comes from as they get older, what they've done is their adrenal production of cortisol has slowed down, and pituitary asks for more. The middle layer can't do it, but inner layer produces this estrogen that comes up, and that's the thing that is causing the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And with the majority of these cats, if you will, dogs included, if you get them on a little, you can talk to your vet about this as a suggestion only, get them on a little steroid, but...
Well, I think, Janet, you said the cat that was is having the urinary tract symptoms,
right.
that cat, I was surprised when you said they put that cat on an anti-inflammatory, but they gave this cat Rimadyl, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, let's see, that's two, the other thing you got to realize is that...
Now, what did you say you cut off just a second, Dr. Al? You say that's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, isn't it?
Right, and that's not going to fund
That's not going to help the imbalance. Okay.
It'll only try to treat the effect, which it can't do. And the thing that nobody realizes in the human field also is that when you've got that IgA, which is called a mucous membrane antibody deficiency, when it's below 60... in people usually 60 also, you can't absorb steroids through the gut. So in a deal like this, for it to work, you definitely need to use an injectable. And I use a combination of a short-acting that works for 5 days with a long-acting that kicks in.
And that's a cortisol.
To replace that. Otherwise, so much of the oral stuff goes in one in and out the other because patient cannot absorb. And that's what the blood test actually that I recommend with the syndrome measures all this, and it tells you whether you need an injection, you don't need an injection. But that's a fallacy. If that IgA is off and it's below 60, I don't care what you do, it's probably not going to work.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's very,
and it continues on.
Very interesting to me, Dr. Al, that these are brother cats, and they're both 10 years old, and that they both started with problems at the same time. Only one's got urinary tract stuff, the other has intestinal tract stuff.
This is called impact areas.
But it's very likely, it sounds like...
They've got the same thing.
Both of these cats have this endocrine immune imbalance.
And they slowed down at the same time, so they acquired it with age.
Yeah, so Janet, we explain, and as we get more into the show, Janet, we will explain in detail what this endocrine immune imbalance is all about. But we always start out the explanation by saying that individuals are either born with it, and it's a genetic in nature, or it's acquired because of stress or toxic exposure, or it happens as a result of old age. So with your two kitties at 10 years, it sounds likely, Dr. Al, that you just said that they've moved into this imbalance as of old age, because of old age,
right,
or older age, and they both seem to have gone into it. They're just having different manifestations.
Right, different impact areas, and you do see this.
Okay. So now it's possible that through medication and working with her vets that Janet might be able to clear up the signs with these couple kitties at least temporarily.
Well, and control it. What she would be doing is you would control it. You would fund into their system what their hormone, the glands producing the hormones are not producing correctly. And then you move into, once the IGAs are up for absorption, then you move into simple oral medication.
What I was saying though is, let's, without diagnosing or treating the endocrine immune imbalance, if she just continued
right
with her vet as she's doing now, the antibiotics, the anti-inflammatories, the stuff that she's giving, I mean, they might be able to deal with some of the infections and the signs somewhat, might they, Dr. Al, but won't get to a resolution unless this imbalance is diagnosed and stabilized. Is that
right? What they're doing is they're treating the effects, which is all good and fine,
but not the cause.
Exactly.
Well, it's not good and fine because they're not working.
Yeah, right. But that's what he meant, Janet, is that they're treating the signs,
right,
but not the cause.
And the one cell, Janet, that produces the antibodies is called a B cell, and its function basically is to protect against bacterial infections and to make antibodies to foreign invaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens to be deficient, then resident bacteria, viruses can take over and keep taking over because the body cannot protect itself because that immune segment is deficient, see? And so you want to replace what the deficiency is, and all of a sudden the resistance does come back and the body can protect itself. Chronic diseases in people and animals are usually due to this kind of an imbalance, because
mm-hmm.
normally a body will heal itself.
Right.
But in this instance, they can't because there's a little bit of a hormone deficiency. Unfortunately, and we've tried and worked on this, there's only one laboratory now that's really doing proper testing, total estrogen, the whole bit. Your two main labs here in this country just they're not doing it. And so that's been one of the problems. If you can check on the web, there's a lab button there, the whole bit. And, you know, anything I can do and Martha can do to help, keep in touch.
Okay.
But yeah, there is a better way, I promise you.
Yeah, now, Janet, we're reaching the end of this hour,
okay,
which we'll need to close out, and then
right,
we're running the fall-winter tip. But, you know, we're going for another couple hours here, and as we start the next hour, we're going to explain what this endocrine immune imbalance, what it really is,
mm-hmm.
and so that you can understand it better. And so my question for you now is, would you like to hold on and stay with us while we take care of all of that, and then we could bring you on again in the next hour if you have more questions after we've explained what this is all about. Would you like to do that?
Okay, well, I did read the book last night.
Oh, you read the book last night?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Did you already have it and just hadn't read it, or what?
I had it, and I had gotten it some time ago, and then I just, you know, was on my shelf, and then when I looked at your webpage, after your email, then I thought, I think I have that book.
Oh, good
and
for
so
you.
And so I just took it upstairs before I went to bed and just read
Well, you know, excellent. So you have a much better... So in that case, would you like to hold on so you can talk to Dr. Al with more specific questions after the top of the hour?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We'll put Janet on hold. We'll keep her, and we will also keep Dr. Al. We are going to run my fall into winter tips. If you've got little dogs and you know the weather's changing and they can decide they don't want to go outside in the cold weather to eliminate, so you can have a house training problem flare up with little dogs and all kinds of other stuff in the fall and winter months. So stay tuned for all of the things you need to know about that. Then we will continue with Vet Sunday. We've got Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, to give away, and open phone lines. We will continue to take your